WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, offering a master's program in social work that combines rigorous coursework with field experience. The integrated curriculum develops analytical, leadership, and policy skills essential for effective practice. Applications are open for the early deadline of December 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Hey, Chicago, I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is In the Loop. Stick around for a breakdown of the day's top local news stories later on in the podcast. First, we'll get into the conversation you just clicked on. If you're one of the many people who've already gone out to see Wicked for Good, then you got another taste of Hollywood magic at the movie theaters. And lucky for us Chicagoans, we've got our own trip to Oz waiting right downtown. The Dreehouse Museum's newest exhibit takes fans behind the curtain of The Wizard of Oz with rare memorabilia from the 1939 classic, stunning replica costumes, and a peek at how L. Frank Baum's book kicked things off. So whether you're a Dorothy stan, or you're just chasing a bit of Emerald City sparkle, this next conversation is for you. We're going to explore what makes this exhibit a must-see for anyone who's ever dreamed of following the yellow brick road. At the table was Lisa Key, executive director of the Dreehouse Museum on the near north side and right off the Mag Mile. So I got to say, you got a bunch of people on this team excited. We got a few fans of Wizard of Oz. Are you a fan?
I am completely a fan. Just saw the movie this weekend.
Did you? Okay, so, I mean, without spoilers, because I think we got to be sensitive to the folks who haven't seen it just yet.
Of course,
did you like it?
Loved it.
Okay, well, tell me more.
Well, the thing that, as a museum professional, the thing that I'm always looking at is, of course, the visuals. The costumes, the scenic design, and it did not disappoint.
Interesting.
What I found really interesting are the historic references that were in the, specifically the scenic design. So the Nessa's office, very much an influenced by Hector Guimard, a French Art Nouveau artist. Galinda's apartment, that chic apartment that she's in, very Art Deco. And even saw some, although I don't think they were real, some really nice replicas of Tiffany lamps, which are what we feature at the Dreehouse Museum.
Oh.
So it was really nice to see.
We've got our senior producer, Meha, co-signing everything you just said. She also saw the movie and she said everything Glinda or Ariana wore was fire. That's
yes.
The actual quote.
Fire.
From
yes.
Meha. So tell me more about the exhibit, because you just mentioned something that's featured, the Tiffany lamp. What else can we see?
So
let's get right to the goods.
Our Land of Oz exhibition is really based on the 1939 original movie and L. Frank Baum's books, which have a Chicago connection. Many people don't realize he lived in Humboldt Park. And
he did.
He wrote most of the books in the Fine Arts Building. So
wow.
Right downtown. So first of all, we have a great Chicago connection.
So
to
we
the
can
original.
Claim it.
We can claim it. Legitimately, we can claim it. We have this wonderful connection. And for us, the Dreehouse Museum was founded by collector Richard Dreehouse, who, among the many things he collected, he loved the original movie for its imagination, the idea of collaboration, working together. And that started him on a journey to collect original scripts, artifacts. We do have a pair of replica ruby slippers. And you know, Sasha, in
you're
the movie,
my heart.
And actually Wicked for Good, they do it correctly. The original, as written, the shoes are not ruby. They are silver.
Oh.
Did you notice? Have you seen?
I have not seen yet, but okay. So they, now I know.
They did it correctly in Wicked for Good. They flashed to some
Someone
red,
did their homework.
But they are silver shoes. But we have a pair of replica ruby slippers at the movie's 50th anniversary. The original costume company re-released only 20 pairs of ruby slippers. Were made on the original shoe molds that Judy Garland's feet.
Nice.
So you can see those on
view.
Oh,
that's so cool.
We have original costumes, and we also have a Medal of Courage and scripts, original scripts. And we have, because of course we had to, they are open to the page, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore.
Of course.
So you can read how, you know, who, how they were given those instructions.
I love the attention to detail there, Lisa. So this new exhibit really came from Frank Albom's collection, personal collection.
No. These are all artifacts from the movie.
Okay.
We do have some of the books, some of the early editions of L. Frank Baum's books, which was a whole series.
But he was such a super fan that this just made sense.
Richard Driehaus, our founder,
was just a super fan.
Well, some may call a super fan. And we are lucky enough to be able to display this collection.
Gotcha. Now, what are your favorites, if you had to pick?
Well, we have an early, one of the backdrops, an artist rendering of the Emerald City. And when you see this, you will wonder there's a big square, a black square in the left-hand side of it. And so what we have on view is actually early CGI. So before technology,
right,
artists were used to create drawings, and then there's this black square is where the live action film would have been slotted in.
Oh, how cool.
So, and we have actually a rendering of Dorothy with the gang. So you can see how
How do you put that on display?
Two separate pieces of artwork that are on display side by side.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
So
that
it's
is
really
very cool.
Like there was a life before CGI, and we can show you how that worked.
How that worked out. Yeah. Did you learn something new besides that, what you just wowed me with there? I mean, did you learn something new from this exhibit?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm learning all the time. That's one of the things I love about my job. But one of the big things that I learned is, number one, there is a huge market for ruby red slippers. I mean, that is a very collectible thing. And there are levels. Ours are a replica. They are not original to the movie. Those would be, you know, those are highly coveted. Ours are great replicas. And
they're beautiful.
Yes. And number two is really, and I think the movie also helps you understand that this is a story that's for everybody. And it applies to people who saw the original movie when they were young and loved it. And it also applies to people who've only seen Wicked for Good, the new Wicked movies, and want to understand the origin story.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really, this is an exhibition that has a little something for everybody.
I believe so, too. And whether you're team silver slippers or ruby, I think you'll get something out of this for sure. I want to talk more about the Driehaus Museum because it is, I think, one of Chicago's lesser known institutions.
Just don't say undiscovered gem.
No.
Or a gem.
Not
a cultural gem.
Undiscovered. No. We know where you are and we know who you are. We've had you on the program here before. I just think at least compared to the big guys, right? The field, the shed. So for people listening to us right now, Lisa, give us your best pitch. You know, maybe they've never visited before. What makes Driehaus so special?
So we are a museum that is really about Chicago's history. We are housed in a Gilded Age mansion that was built after the Chicago Fire. And rather than going to immersive museums or exhibitions where it's all done by video and CGI, we are an authentic immersion into Chicago's history. Our first floor exists as if a family living at the turn of the century has just gone out for the evening and you are in their home. And you get to see artifacts and art that is as they would have lived. And then our second floor galleries have something for everyone. And right now we have a Tiffany lamp exhibition. Who doesn't need light at this time of year?
Absolutely. No, I love that feel of like, because I don't know about you. I'm one of those that like, you know, I like to eavesdrop on conversations. Oh, I like to, you know, feel like I'm getting access to something I'm not supposed to have.
Oh,
so just the idea of stepping into this like intimate space for a moment while the family's away, I think is what adds to the intrigue, no?
It completely does. We have a lot of guests who come dressed in costume sometimes too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about the feedback you get from folks who take the time to come out and visit.
So we have incredible visitor ratings and reviews because it is unlike any other place in Chicago. You are able to really come into a museum that really takes you back in time. But we as an institution are also dedicated to pulling things to the present. Mm-hmm. So you will not only see history, but you'll see how it impacts us today. And then we activate our museum. We had a ballroom dance class over the Halloween holidays.
Oh, how cool.
We're about to have a holiday market December 6th. We have what we call Dreecember, which is a whole month of holiday programming that takes place. Santa will be making a visit. So we not only are a gorgeous place to visit and see incredible art, architecture, and design.
Wow.
But you can take place in what we are doing and participate.
Dreecember. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that.
We're trademarking.
You're trademarking. You should. You really should. Okay, so Santa's coming. And anything else in December specifically?
A holiday market.
That's on
December 6th. And then we also have Ghostlight Theater is doing a production in our gallery spaces of Victorian ghost tales. So in the Victorian era, you would gather around the fireplace and share stories. So we are reenacting that.
And I'm surprised I was able to hear anything else you said, because you really did have me at Gilded Age Mansion. Because I'm thinking, how do I secure one of those for myself?
And, you know, we really have seen a lot of people become interested because of the TV show, The Gilded
That's right.
Age.
Absolutely. So I hear as well that there is a silent book club.
Yes.
Lisa, I got to know more.
Okay. Hygge is this, I think I got it right, is this, you know, coziness, this cozy feeling. And so in the month of December, we really embrace that by inviting people. We're open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 to 5. And on Wednesday nights, we are open late until 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so in December, on the third Wednesday, you can come for a silent book club. Bring your book that you're reading and join others in community to read together. We will have cookies, hot cocoa, and a digital fireplace set up for you to enjoy. We did this really successfully last year.
Really? And so people catch on to this.
They loved it. And so it's due to visitor feedback that we're going to do it again.
You know, you're right. Sometimes I want to be left alone with my book, but also be in community at the same time.
Together.
Yeah. I want to be alone together. That sounds like fun. For more information about the Dreehouse's current programs and exhibits, like the Land of Oz, just go to dreehousemuseum.org. And remember, Dreehouse is spelled Dreehaus.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, offering a master's program in social work that combines rigorous coursework with field experience. The integrated curriculum develops analytical, leadership, and policy skills essential for effective practice. Applications are open for the early deadline of December 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Okay, now let's break down the top local stories of the day. At the table was WBEZ morning anchor Claire Lane, WBEZ reporter and weekend anchor Michael Puente, and Chicago Sun-Times reporter Violet Miller. Mike kicked things off with some serious news that happened right downtown on Friday night. Here he is.
You know, Sasha, I got to say, this is one of the saddest stories. You know, ever, just because the city is primed right now to celebrate Christmas and the holidays.
Right.
Just happened on Friday.
After the Christmas tree lighting.
Tons of people downtown just reveling. And you had one of these so-called teen takeovers right downtown, right by the Chicago Theater. A shooting happened right before 10 o'clock. We know the ABC 7, Channel 7 studios are right down there, so they took some incredible video of this.
Right.
So you see people just scattered everywhere. So 17s there got shot, none of them fatally. But about five blocks to the south, at about an hour later, there was another shooting. That's where a 14-year-old kid, Armani Floyd, was fatally shot there.
Yeah.
And pretty sad story.
Yeah, now there's a new reward out, $5,000 being offered for information to help find the shooter who killed 14-year-old Armani. And I mean, it's just, as you said, Mike, sad doesn't even cut it. I think there's a lot of fear right now. These teen takeovers, we've talked about them several times on the program. But just as a mom thinking about this in the perspective of my daughter, who was actually on the scene 2 hours prior to this shooting. She was coming home a little later than usual from school. She actually was studying and made her way down. The bus that she takes to get home was rerouted, and she had to stand on State Street to catch the bus right in the scene of, and she called me from there. She was like, oh my God, there's a lot of people here. And we just kind of chalked it up to like, oh, well, you know.
Festival of Lights.
Festival of Lights.
Right. It's the ugliest images of Chicago. People from all around the country visiting Chicago over the weekend.
Right.
I was down there on Saturday night for the Festival of Lights. And Mayor Johnson said about the incidents, it sets us back as a city and evokes fear. So
yeah.
He's right about that. And
I'm not sure
what can happen for how to prevent it.
All right, Violet, let's pivot here. A coalition of religious leaders is suing ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. What's happening?
Yeah, so in a suit filed in federal court last Wednesday, the Coalition for Spiritual and Public Leadership said it had been attempting to provide communion and praying with detainees at the Broadview ICE facility, both in October as well as earlier this month. We were on the ground covering that with the Sun-Times. Both times they were denied, you know, officials citing these kind of vague safety and security concerns, which these religious leaders are saying is not enough to break the decade of precedent that had been set before. You know, DHS got back to me and they said that religious groups can provide services at detention facilities. But given that Broadview is just a temporary processing facility, they didn't want to allow them in there again because of these safety concerns. But again, this is a temporary break.
I mean, why are we stopping people from getting religious services?
Well, see, that's the question they're asking because, you know, sisters Joanne Persh and Pat Murphy both passed recently, but they had kind of pioneered this religious services system at Broadview in 2010. So they had been operating there for a decade, praying with detainees, coming in to give them blessings and communion and the like. And that only stopped because of the COVID-19 pandemic and started to, you know, become in person again until the Trump administration came back in.
Right. Now, businesses are still reeling from Operation Midway Blitz. Mike, what did you and our colleague Anna Savchenka hear from businesses here in Chicago?
That's right, Sasha. Yeah, they are still reeling, even with the border agents and ICE agents supposedly have left. Supposedly there's still some activity going on. I had a chance to visit Little Village last week. And even though from my perspective, it looked like there was more activity out there from the people who live and work there on a daily basis, they said it's still very slow. They're having a tough time, you know, getting customers back. I had a chance to speak with Jose Luis Lopez. He's the owner of Los Candiles in Little Village at 26th Street in Central Park. Just one of the cutest little places you can visit. This family, they've owned it for a few years, but they also poured their life savings into remodeling it about a year ago. And then they just, with the border agents, you know, over the last few months, they saw their customer base just dwindle. And they've had to, not lay off people, but, you know, give more days off to some of their workers. So they're hoping they come back, you know, for the holidays. But it's really difficult.
What do you think? I mean, you saw things up close. Do you think that things might get back to normal for these residents and businesses soon? Maybe not the holidays are super close.
Not if we keep hearing reports of people, there's still, I mean, Greg Bovino's not over here. And there's a video showing Greg Bovino actually walking outside of Los Candiles. From my perspective, it seemed like it was busy last week. But in talking to Mercedes Ulgarde and Michelle Macias, they own businesses in Little Village,
right,
including a grocery store. They said it is very dead. It's still very, just not that many people. Maybe they saw a little bit of an uptick earlier in the week because there was warmer weather.
Right.
But still, overall, it's
not the same.
It's not the same. And there's still a lot of fear.
Hey, if you just got here, welcome. This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and we are going behind the headlines that you need to know this Monday morning here in Chicago with WBEZ's Michael Puente, Claire Lane, and Violet Miller of the Sun-Times. Violet, a judge is calling out this Midway blitz, well, the cases at least, for falling apart. What's the story?
Yeah, so to quote U.S. Magistrate Judge Gabriel Fuentes, who is ruling on some of these cases, he said, these are not ordinary times at the Everett McKinley Dirksen United States Courthouse, which really is a mouthful when you say it on air. You know, the cases against five protesters for a September 27th protest against Border Patrol agents were tossed out, as well as the charges against the woman who was shot by Border Patrol agents in Brighton Park and the young man who was charged alongside her. This is due to a multitude of reasons, but in many of the cases, grand juries refused to return indictments on those charges, which Fuentes said the court hadn't seen since the turn of the millennium. Mm. But in the last 2 months since Midway Blitz began, there have been three. So he said it was unusual and unprecedented, and that the court was stopping short of concluding the government struck any foul blows, but obviously noted the severity of being charged with a federal crime, especially for these folks now that these charges are dismissed.
Right.
You know, they still have to go through that process and go through that. And so Judge Fuentes reminding federal prosecutors of that and saying that he hopes that doing the right thing continues to be the way forward for the U.S. Attorney's Office here.
Right. Claire, do we have any updates on the Reverend Jesse Jackson? How's he doing?
We do. The family of Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. says he remains in stable condition.
Okay.
As we know, he was released from the ICU last week. He's still at Northwestern Memorial being treated for his neurological disorder. But former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton visited Jackson downtown on Friday. Family says he's in stable condition.
All right. And the Bears. Let's talk about the Bears, Mike and Claire. I'm looking at you both because they won.
What a fluke.
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
So you called us the morning crew. We are the shuffling crew this morning.
Got to tell the listeners that Mike Puente just switched his entire outfit. Well, no, he put on
the
a Bears
sweater
hat.
Vest he was already wearing.
He put on a Bears hat.
Ditka. Yeah. It's exciting. I think, again, I was having conversations with neighbors. I'm sure you have too. You know, bar and restaurant owners seeing an uptick in business. When the Bears are winning, it's good for the city and fun for the city.
That's what I think, too.
People love the Chicago Bears. They won again in, you know, a little tight again. But, hey, you know, they are winning. They look like they're going to make the playoffs. They got great records this season. It, you know, it beats all that losing. So we'll take it.
It sure does.
It would have been a little sweeter against Rodgers, I won't lie.
It would have been. It would have been. But
also, the broken wrist kept him out?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
His non-throwing wrist. But he was smirking from the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you picked up on that throughout the game.
Yes.
Well, I'm smirking, and I'm not a huge, huge Bears fan. But just to your point, Claire, just the electric, the energy of them being on a winning streak just makes me feel alive.
Bear down.
Makes the city feel alive. Thanksgiving travel. Let's talk about that. Anybody heading out of town?
I'm working.
Not. You're working?
Of course.
I'll be here. I'll be staycationing.
I'll be here.
The numbers, what are they looking like as far as folks leaving the city, Claire?
So the FAA is expecting the holiday travel period to be its busiest in 15 years. Tomorrow, actually, supposed to be the peak travel day for air travel. 52,000 flights, nearly 82 million people projected to travel at least 50 miles between tomorrow and Sunday, which is an increase of about 1.5 million people compared to last year. So most travelers, though, will be hitting the road by car. AAA is estimating 73.2 million people expected to drive to wherever they're going to eat or to celebrate. AAA is also projecting 6 million people travel by plane within the country, which is up 2%. So we're not going anywhere, but apparently more people are going places.
Somebody's going somewhere.
Somebody's going somewhere.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, I hear turkey prices are favorable right now?
So we're getting sort of mixed information on this. Some places are reporting, yes, turkey prices are down, but apparently bird flu, they have shrunk the U.S. turkey population by 40% this year. So less turkeys, but to sort of get customers in the door, we're finding that grocery stores are offering sort of deals and specials to get people in and then hiking the prices up on some of those sides. So they might get you in with the turkey, but you might be spending a little bit more overall. Tariffs still impacting things like canned goods. Apparently, canned cranberry sauce had the biggest price increase.
Of course it did.
After drop production in the cranberries.
I'm just hating because I don't like it.
And those cans are apparently, the tariffs are impacting your cranberry sauce. Yeah. So it might be the year to make it by hand.
Okay,
forage yourself.
You're just going to have to do without the cranberry sauce this year, folks.
Never.
Anything else you're watching, Claire?
Snowy owls are here.
Oh!
I don't know if anybody's been tracking that, but the birding community has been very excited. A pair of snowy owls were spotted at Montrose last week, and a big group of birders took a bunch of photos on Saturday. We don't know how long they're going to be on Chicago's shores. Their frequency kind of varies per year, whether or not they even come, but they're here now, and maybe they'll stay for the Thanksgiving Day holiday.
Snowy owls, welcome back.
Snow or no snow.
Snow or no snow, that's right. Speaking of Thanksgiving, though, Mike and Violet, do you know what your menu looks like just yet?
Well, I got to say, you know, in our household, it doesn't feel like Thanksgiving. My wife always makes what are called these empanadas. So they're like Thanksgiving wrapped up in a turnover, a Mexican turnover. So looking forward to that.
So
going to spend it with my sister in Crown Point. So looking forward to everything.
Yeah. No, we're staying here. We're going to cook our own food. Just do a small gathering. Just our family. But all the regular fixins. What about you, Violet? Are you doing Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving?
No, Thanksgiving. Both? I'm hosting for the first time.
Ooh.
So, yeah, lots of pressure in my tiny apartment, but that's okay. It'll be fine. We're going to have salmon, some pumpkin puree cookies. Yeah,
no, are you making excited. All of this?
Yeah.
Violet, who knew?
I can't take credit. It's my partner, but
okay.
I am moral support.
But I'm still impressed. Yeah, I went to Home Goods yesterday and I was, you know, trying to get the house all festive and there was just this, there were two aisles with like, your hosting needs. And I almost went crazy. So you should have come with me.
I we should have been there. Yeah.
We could have went nuts with all the bar essentials that they that they had on the shelves. Speaking of holidays, Violet, I know we were both eyeing the New Year's Rockin' Eve. We talked a few weeks ago on In the Loop about the fact that Chicago is getting its own version of the Dick Clark Classic. What do we know now? Any updates?
You know, we know that Chance the Rapper will be co-hosting, which, you know, obviously it's an opportunity.
With Ryan Seacrest?
Yes, yeah.
Amazing.
So Ryan Seacrest will be reporting from Times Square. Reporting might be a stretch. Chance the Rapper, they'll be doing shots. It seems like a good time.
Reporting
I wish that
Times
was
Square.
My reporting job. But yeah, Chance the Rapper will be co-hosting in Chicago. I mean, coming off the release of his album Starline, it's not like he's distancing himself from Chicago at all. I mean, if anything, doubling down. So.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, I don't think that there was any other obvious choice.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a true fit for sure. And it says Chance is joining an all-star roster of hosts for the evening's production. Ryan Seacrest, as we mentioned, chart-topping artist Rita Ora will be in New York Times Square, of course, and NFL legend Rob Gronkowski, as well as Julianne Hough in Vegas. So lots to see on New Year's Eve. If you don't have plans to go out and shake your tail feather, maybe you'll stay home and watch Chance. We'll leave it there. WBEZ's Claire Lane, Michael Puente, and Violet Miller from the Sun-Times.
This episode of the In the Loop podcast was produced by me, Maha Ahmed, and edited by Ethan Schwab. Sasha Ann Simons is our host. For more in-depth coverage of news and culture in Chicago, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. For a full archive of the show, head over to wbez.org/in the loop. Thanks for listening.